Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Tuesday. We'll keep this thing rolling right down the tracks. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe with you. The Predators are up in Calgary to take on the Flames tonight. The puck drop will be at 8 o'clock, heard right here on these airwaves. Pete Weber and Hal Gill will have your call, and I'll have pregame for you starting at 7 o'clock. You know, on Tuesdays at this time, we talk with Predators GM David Poile, and he is on the line with us. David, good morning. How you doing?
I am good. I am up in Calgary, a little bit colder than Nashville, I suspect. Last year we were a little, I don't say spoiled, but because of the condensed season and playing in only in one division, this is the first time we've been up to Canada for the last year and a half. And, you know, playing that trip yesterday was over 4 hours, so just something a little bit new and different than what we did last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it was interesting. I'm glad you brought that up, because Saturday, after the nice win over the Islanders, Alex Carrier came up to the Patron Platinum Club with me in postgame, and we were just talking about, and there's fans, you know, in there watching, and he was just talking about how the atmosphere was so great and how much it means to the players. And I also brought up going out on the road, and he's like, you know, I was like, you're going to get to really now take in what it means to be playing in the NHL on a permanent, you know, on a full-time basis, because – you know, last year wasn't the same as this year, and he was talking about how they couldn't eat together. And that does make a difference. I know for a lot of people out there listening, you're like, what's the big deal? But really, it is a big deal, isn't it?
I think absolutely. And for a young player like Carrier, who got to play in the second half of last season, his first real stint in the National Hockey League, he only got to play against seven different teams.
Yeah.
So, again, just, if you will, all the different styles of teams, the travel. I mean, in this, we're on a six-game road trip. We play starting tonight, we play three games in four nights with you know, a fair bit of travel. So it's all a little bit different. But the good news is that, you know, for example, last night, you know, we get in here and, you know, all the players, you know, went out to dinner together, which is just what you spoke about. It's just a something that last year we couldn't do. Everything was done in the hotel, and it was like you know, Groundhog Day all over again. Every day was approximately the same. So I think this is great. And, you know, we play tonight, fly up to Edmonton after the game, play there, and then we go out to Vancouver, and that'll be a day off for the players out there, and hopefully have some decent weather. It's a beautiful place, and, you know, once again, a little bit more team bonding. So with a young team, with a team that's made a few changes, I think this is really a good opportunity for guys to, you know, to get to know each other a little bit better.
At some point, David, you're going to say, Darren, I think I've said all there is to say about him. Like, and I get it. At some point, we're going to reach that. But until we get there, David, Tanner Jeannot just continues to – it's amazing. I mean, two more goals again on Saturday. Four goals through eight games, had five goals last year and 15 games in the regular season. This guy continues to impress. I mean, at this point, I keep asking the question, what does he not do? Like, what am I missing? What does he not bring to the table? How do you answer that?
I answer it by saying it's a real good story for a young kid that was kind of the underdog, never got drafted, had to play an overage year in junior hockey. It's just a great story for him, and it's turned out to be a really good story for the Predators. I mean, you know, he's strong as an ox. He's got good speed. He's very physical. I think he's an intimidating type of player. And the big bonus here is that he's got some hands, and he's starting to. He's not starting to. He's been scoring on a regular basis, going back to last year, pretty close to as much as anybody. So it's a fantastic story. It's what we needed. It's, you know, we talked about secondary scoring, more offense for our team, and here we're getting it from our third or fourth line, if you will, this identity line that we put together to be more of a physical line. They've now scored, you know, an even strength, probably as many goals as our first or second line has scored. So It's fantastic, and I feel really good about Tanner as a person. He seems to do all the right things in his preparation. I actually see him as a future leader with our team. So his arrow is clearly pointing in the right direction. That's straight up.
You know, the last couple of years we've talked about the power play, and most of it was not a flattering conversation. I think coming into the game Saturday, Predators were ranked third. You guys were ranked third in the league with the man advantage. Five power play goals in three games. What, two in Winnipeg, two in Minnesota, and then another one Tuesday night in the win over San Jose. There wasn't a power play goal on Saturday, but it continues. And by the way, it looks different. And so with that being said, it looks different and it's having success. What's really working when it comes to that? Because it's been a while since we've talked about a successful power play. Why is it working so well in your opinion?
Lots of meetings individually, lots of work basically every day at the practice. Penalty killing and power play is a big part of practice, maybe more so than ever before. Some adjustments in terms of what we do on the power play, but certainly some adjustments in terms of thinking of the players that are on the power play. I think it's a quicker power play in terms of not only skating, but probably more importantly, the puck movement, which seems to me, if I was to put one key to it, that would be it. And again, it's so important. It's been an Achilles heel for the Predators the last few years. And again, as we start the season, and you asked me like what were things you're concerned with, I mean, that would have been one of them. And that of course gets into your scoring. And we still need more scoring than we're getting right now. But if you can get a couple of goals 5-on-5 every game, and you can get one goal if you will in the power play, I mean, that could be a formula for winning hockey. So congrats to our players and to our coaches. Dan Lambert working on the power play. It's been a tireless situation to try to get better and get more production on the power play. And the good news is that we've got, I would say, our veteran power play, and then we have a young power play that features Tomasino and Tolvanen and Tommy Novak. So, that's been looking pretty good also. So it's a huge improvement for our team, something that was much needed.
Borowiecki and Benning have been playing the last three games as that third D pairing. Harper and Myers played in the game in Winnipeg. That was the last time they were out there. So it seems like you guys are rolling with Borowiecki and Benning. What have you seen out of them that you like more right now than Harper and Myers, or is it just matchups?
I think it's early in the year, first of all. I think it's important that right now that we have eight defensemen. I see that as an area that we're still going to have a rotation in. As we begin referring to this road trip, three games and four nights, I would think that there's a good chance that everybody, all eight guys would play in at least one of those games. But right now, they've got the seat, if you will, on the bus. They played really well in the last three games where they've been used. Again, knock on wood, no, I think maybe one goal against, playing again very physical game, which helps set up the game for other players. So it's been great. But I know Harper and Myers, they're going to get back in there. It's good to have a little bit of depth, and knock on wood too, we're healthy right now. Last year, if you remember, we had so many different injuries. We were using all sorts of different guys, and I would suspect over an 82-game schedule that this will work its way out. But the good news is Borowiecki, who was out a lot of last year with injuries, has gotten back in the lineup and is in a regular position. And I don't think he or Benning want to come out. So this is great. This is the depth that you're looking for. This is the competition that you're looking for. But I think at the end of the day, everybody's going to get a chance to play. But good on them right now. They played very well for us.
Predators General Manager David Poile is here with us on Darren Donick and Chase for his weekly visit. Matt Duchene, to me, David, has a different confidence about him that I don't think we've seen since he's been in Nashville. He's second on the team in shots He's got the two goals, the 5 points, but he's creating plays even if he's not showing up on the stat sheet. I'm seeing something different out of him. What about you?
I think his determination, his persistence, his consistency is way better this year. Again, talked about a lot, with everybody. Some of our better players, higher paid players, if you will, more offensive players, probably had somewhat of off seasons last season, and not that different than the power play. A lot of conversations, a lot of adjustments that the players have made and the coaches have made with the players and systems and what have you. And I think there's been some consistency of Duchesne and Johansson and Forsberg playing a lot together, though they changed up the lines the other day, and it seemed like maybe something like that would have affected one of those players last year. This year, they understood why the change was made, and I think it's even made them more resilient. So, good on Matt Duchesne specifically. He's a guy that still has not had what I call a lot of puck luck this year. He's been around at a couple of posts and what have you. I'm just looking for him to have one of those breakout games where he gets a hat trick and it just carries from there. But really very happy with his play this year and how determined he is. Another area that he does is he's probably drawn the most penalties on our team, again, by him driving to the net, by some of his speed and some of his moves. So really like the way Matt's playing this year.
We've talked a lot about UC Saros, of course, and his success early on, but you had signed David Rittich to be his backup. Unfortunately, hadn't gotten to see him yet because he was on the COVID list. I know he's been practicing. Coach Hines said it maybe needed a little while longer, but how close do you think Rittich is to potentially being available, even though you got to feel pretty good and Connor Ingram and his one outing that he had?
Well, Rittich is over the COVID, and he just needs, as John said, some practice times. And he got a couple of practices last week. He practiced yesterday's the morning skate as we speak. And, I could see maybe later in the week that he could actually sort of get into action or be ready to back up as long as he stays healthy and gets a couple of practices under his belt. So, we're going to have to make a determination on goaltending pretty soon.
It was announced on Saturday that Terry Crisp was going to be retiring at the end of the season from his broadcast role. He's been a day one guy, obviously has meant so much to this organization and helping build the sport in this market. But for you, and knowing what he accomplished as a head coach, having him here, when you hired Barry Trotz, who had not coached in the NHL, how valuable was it having Crispy around just to kind of be somebody to talk to if either one of you needed advice?
It's been awesome, as you said, since day one. I mean, Crispy is a special guy. I mean, who doesn't want to hang out with Crispy? Who doesn't want to hear all of his stories and all the experience that he's had? I mean, it's a lot of fun to be with. Obviously, done a huge, huge amount in terms of selling hockey here in Nashville over the years. I mean, you think of Predators, I mean, you think of Terry Crisp right away. Also, and tonight, you're going to have some recognition for Terry. He's got all of his family here in Calgary, and again, obviously, very much appreciated and remembered here in Calgary, so it's going to be a special night for all the Crisps here in Calgary tonight, and I know everybody, he's just a great, great guy, and a ton of experience, and I think, for someone like Barry Trotz, when we first started, I mean, that probably was a little bit of a shoulder to lean on in terms of, situations that Terry had been through and, Barry was experiencing for the first time. So, again, nothing but the best for the Crisps and for Terry and Sheila. They've been fantastic for our franchise.
So they know him in Calgary?
He's a big deal.
he's a big deal tonight. We'll see how We'll see how it goes here, but he's very, very popular. He's popular wherever he goes.
And, no doubt about that.
What a great personality.
In all seriousness, as we wrap this up, David, this Calgary team is off to an incredible start, right? This is a really good Flames team.
In all seriousness, Darren, we're playing Calgary and Edmonton, who have two of the three best records in the National Hockey League.
Yep.
I watched Edmonton play last night against Seattle, and their power play is running at just under 50%. I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, you talk about special players and McDavid and Draisaitl, they look fantastic. And in Calgary, they've got some guys that have really performed well in scoring, scoring a lot of goals. And their goaltender, I think Markstrom was player of the week. I mean, if he keeps it up, he could be player of the month for soon. He just played, you know, fantastic. He's probably been the best goaltender in the league right now. So these next two games will be a huge watermark in terms of where the Predators are against the, I guess you'd say, the best teams in the National Hockey League right now.
No doubt about it. Hey, thanks for the visit. As always, go collect some more wins on this road trip. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, that is David Poile, Predators General Manager, and he joins us every Tuesday at 11:15. So don't forget, tonight in Calgary to take on the Flames. They've won six straight, and they have been playing really well.
Oh, no doubt.
Really well.
But if you're, and he kind of alluded to it there, but if you're David Poile, if you're John Hines, these next two games, I mean, that's the measuring stick. See where you're at, you know, with the way Calgary and Edmonton have played. And I think, you know, Calgary more so, we've seen Calgary have those hot starts in the past and then they kind of drop off. But this team looks pretty legit in the early going.
Should someone have to wear like a bull's head if they win these two games? What was it? What did Pierre Laviolette do? Remember,
was it the swing?
What was it that he wore? I thought it was like a bull.
You're right.
Wasn't it like a bull? Remember, and it was this swing. It was Calgary and Edmonton, and after they beat Edmonton is when he went out in the press conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And wore the bull's head.
Yeah.
Is that right? I'm almost positive. But I can't remember exactly what he had to wear. Remember, it was very awkward because nobody knew what was going on. It's like,
It was a bull's head.
Like, what?
That's right.
What is the Predators coach doing? What's happening here? Why is he doing the press conference in this getup? So, yeah, it was interesting. All right, good stuff from David Poile. We'll come back. More on the other side as you listen to the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.